Today's program has been brought to you by Many Kitchens, the one-stop shop for all things foodie. Discover the best artisanal foods that America has to offer. Shop for more at manykitchens.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. I just want to wish everyone a happy new year. This is the first show of the year for The Speakeasy, and it's been three great years so far, and I can't wait to have many more. And I do want to say something about the weather here in New York. It is quite cold, so I can't think of anyone better to have on the show than Claire Marin from Catskill Provisions, who is an expert beekeeper and has just introduced very recently a honey whiskey. And I can't think of anything better to throw in a hot toddy right now and sit in the studio and talk. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. God, that sounds really good right about now, doesn't it?
It sure does. This wintry mix, I won't even call it a mix, it's just straight up winter, has really been getting a lot of requests for, I'm too cold to even talk right now, requests for hot toddies.
I think you need a little bit of whiskey right about
now. Yeah, I know, really.
I wish I could give you some.
I know, but I've been getting a lot of requests at my bar for hot toddies, and, there's no better way to do that than throwing some honey whiskey in there. So you started this company, Catskill Provisions, back in 2010, but you got started beekeeping quite a little bit before that, right?
Yeah, I had been beekeeping for about 9 years prior to starting the company. And it was, an amazing experience. It was just always so great. It was sort of my zen, during my publishing years. And in 2010, I just decided to, just throw in the towel with the whole corporate thing and do something that I loved. And I knew that I could, I had some really amazing honey produced in the part of Delaware County and Sullivan County in New York State. And I wanted to create a company to bring some revenue to that area that is how it is upstate. You drive through, you don't see a whole lot of anything but beauty. And there's just great food products being produced there, like the maple syrup eventually became something that we made. But the goal was to distill, with honey and maple syrup, I was sure that we can make some really fine stuff. So that's sort of how, the whole idea got started 3 years ago. And we're really on track, I think the food product got grew really much more than I had thought in the 3 years. And then all of a sudden I my hands were totally full with that. And I thought maybe a collaboration, and I looked for the best I could absolutely find. And I absolutely found them in Finger Lakes Distilling, the McKenzie's, both Brian McKenzie and Tom McKenzie, the distiller at Finger Lakes Distilling are just, amazing, the products that they put out. And I think they did a great job with our honey.
I had outside of just taking motorcycle trips upstate and everything, like you said, just kind of witnessing the beauty of upstate New York, and it's a very magical and beautiful place. We'd always stop off at like a brewery or a distillery or a little cafe spots around, and what I started realizing is that, for these small towns that are so close to New York City, and it doesn't really matter that they're so close to New York City, because there's a whole vibe going on up there. There's a lot of farming. There's a lot of creating your own atmosphere and economy there. And I was just actually on Saturday, I had the opportunity to go up to visit another distillery with some friends, the Warwick Distillery, and we went to Penning's Farm, this really cool old barn. And I saw that. I knew that we were doing this show today, and it didn't really just stand out because we're going to talk about honey today, but I was like, wow, there's a huge shelf at this place, this kind of like country grocery store, and it's all full of local honey, you know? And it's so cool that that's an actual market, you know, especially with, I mean, we can get into this a little bit later, but, you know, like we had this this whole thing about like bees like dying off, you know, a few years ago. There was this whole like...
Yeah, totally. You know, and it was, that's currently happening, yeah.
Yeah, and it feels like, and I could be definitely wrong about it, but it definitely feels like, you know, that's back on track, where before, about, you know, years ago, it seemed like it was... There was a real problem, you know, bees dying off like they were. And I don't really know to speak too much to that subject, but I mm-hmm. think you could enlighten me on that, right?
Yeah, you know, we've been having some issues with that. I will tell you that this season, the spring and summer season of 2000, and fall actually, through the whole season, and 2013 was very strong in the U.S. With much less die-off than the prior year. The prior year you saw 30% to 80% die-off in some places.
Wow.
We had 30% die-off. I mean, so it's, and we were some of the luckiest ones. I mean, you know, in our area for some reason, and I do believe that it has a lot to do with pesticides. I mean, a lot of the die-off happens around major, huge, mass farms, you know, industrial farms, you know. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. Europe now just put in a moratorium on the use of a particular pesticide that's been rumored to be, or proven in many cases, but you know how these companies are. They're so
sure.
big, you know. It's Bayer, it's Dow, it's, you know. So, but a moratorium on the use of it for 2 years. So that, I think, will help the world figure out, okay, if the die-off persists, then maybe it is something else. But, you know, I think the amount of new beekeeping that is going on is so awesome. Even city beekeeping, urban beekeepers, you know, I think it's helping with some of the die-off to just bring in new, you know, new bees into the system, you know, and there's still, you know, it's definitely a difficult thing to do. I mean, they'll go into beekeeping if, you know, if you don't have, you know, a pretty strong stomach, you know, because you're going to suffer a lot over your bees not being successful, or weather, or, you know, there's so many things that can affect you. But it's by far the most incredibly, it's just such an amazing experience. It really is to beekeep. It's really wonderful. I haven't turned anyone onto it that doesn't go, oh my God, this is awesome, you know? So I highly recommend it.
Yeah. One of my old coworkers, his name is John Feldman. He actually started beekeeping here at Roberta's, I believe, is where they started with Brandon Hoy, one of the partners here at Roberta's. And that was pretty cool. Like when I remember how fulfilled he was when he got his first batch of honey and brought it into the restaurant.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like, it's a really cool thing. My experience with bees, like in my life, was that they fly around and sting me. They just really like doing that. For some
really?
Reason,
but that's funny.
But yeah, I was probably walking out of bounds a lot of times and getting into places I shouldn't be. But
yeah, you were probably getting in their way. I bet
exactly.
That's really the only time they sting you is when you're, you know, you surprise them when you're in their way or something like that. Otherwise, they're just so absolutely determined to have a successful hive and just create honey and you know. Find
well, they're partners in business, you know.
They really are, and it's a huge.
You're farming farmers in a sense.
yeah, no, without a doubt, it's an enormous reason why I got so into it, because I just thought, wow, if human beings could work more together that way, we would be so much more successful than we are, you know. Instead of working against each other and having different groups within a group, you know, and things like that, but. You know, it is what it is. We go to the beach for those things, you know, so we learn a lot of good lessons from them, for sure.
Yeah, so you were in publishing, and then you were doing this as a hobby on the side, correct?
Yeah, totally.
And so this probably was very inspiring for you, like in your work environment, you know, like when you're in Midtown working. I do some work in Midtown as well with some publishing companies, and you know, I'm always like, you know what, all right, guys, this is cool. At least like we're on the side And like the way I work in the that industry is that, you know, at least we're testing out food and drinks. So everyone really does work together. But I know that my brother and some of my bandmates also work in publishing, but it's not the same. You know, it's nice to be on the side of like the food and beverage, you know, side of the publishing world, because you do see how people really do work, want to work together. And yeah, that's also, you can take a lot of lessons from the bees that you're raising and seeing how they, and observing them and how they work together.
It's a, absolutely.
It's a good system. So, so I was reading on your website, you have over 700 spots where you have over 700 hives now?
You know, at all times that changes. That was my peak year. That was really about a year ago. And then, you know, 30% die off. I mean, I'm closer now to about 500 or so. You know, and again, we combine a lot of hives. We, you know, in any given time, like at the end of the season, I combined a lot of hives. So I'm probably between like, you know, 455, you know, I really, you know, in the spring, then I will have, you know, an accurate count, but it's, you know, the number has lowered a bit. 700 was definitely like way too much anyway. And I don't want to be, you know, a big producer. I really, you know, love taking honey and making it part of other products, you know. So we've, instead of just jars of honey, I love to make it into, for example, we've made a ketchup with our honey. So instead of sugar or corn syrup or any of those fillers, you know, sweeteners, we'll use, you know, we'll make balsamic fig honey marinade, for example. Mm. It's a great dressing. And then with the maple syrup, we make a great barbecue sauce. So, you know, the idea is sort of to take those things as the base and then take it from there. We also have chocolate honey truffles that we sweeten only with our honey. And it's the same honey, actually, that we make the whiskey with. It's an amber honey. It's a late summer honey that's really beautiful, very flavorful, complex flavors. And it stands up to chocolate and alcohol and whiskey. You know, it just really marries so well with the New York rye that Finger Lakes is making. So it's really awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I was working about like 6 or 7 years. It was shortly after I moved to New York City. I was working in a little retail shop here, and I remember when the kind of like you were saying, like, and part of the reason why I respect your brand so much is the idea that like when I was working in the shop, there was a big company, I won't name names, but that put out a whiskey, a honey whiskey, and I was like, all right, that's cool. And then everyone started doing it, and I was like, wait a minute, it's like, you know what, I don't know where this honey comes from, and also this whiskey is like kind of mass produced, and you know, it's like, I would rather, you know, as a bar person and a person who just loves food in general, food and drinks in general, it's like, I'd rather like have like honey from like one of my friends or like a company that I respect, and then go and find the whiskey that I want to pair with that and mix them together. And that's why I really think that what you guys are doing with this honey whiskey is a really cool thing. I typically do that at the bar. You know, like, we definitely source out, you know, we're very particular about the, like, the different honeys and different, just ingredients in general, like in front of the house, back of the house, like in the kitchen, at the bar, you know, and we play around with them. They do have, you know, very different flavors, and to be able to put two locally produced, like responsibly produced products together, like you guys have done, is such an astounding thing. I think that's just a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, working with like smaller, you know, farmers, it's so much more sustainable. Like the relationship that I have with Brian and Tom, I can't get that if I'm just, you know, buying whiskey from a huge producer, or, you know what I mean? It's just, you're not going to get the product, the quality, consistency of product. And the same thing with them, with me, you know, with our honey, and they actually do use our maple syrup in their Maple Jack liqueur that is wonderful. If you haven't tried it, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's just the collaboration thing between people doesn't happen in a big scale, you know, because then there's no face to it. There's really no name to it. And locality of the source is it doesn't matter when you get to those numbers, you know. It's just a matter of truckloads of things. So quality goes down, and, you know, and then you don't really know where the money goes. You don't really know. You know, this way we know exactly. Listen, it's staying in New York State. That's what we want. We both want that.
Absolutely.
So it's really a wonderful thing. Any chef we work with, any shop we work with, everybody sort of, there's a good feeling around it, and everybody's making their money, and everybody's doing a good thing. It's, you know, the satisfaction of it is really nice to have, and you're making a living, you know?
That's totally, absolutely right. Well, Claire, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, I'd like to delve deeper into the collaborative spirit of, no pun intended, or pun intended, of what you guys are doing. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Claire Marin of Catskill Provisions.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
You are listening to Favorite Flower by Pamela Royal on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
At manykitchens.com, you can enjoy decadent caramel brownies, hand-picked teas, and fair trade coffee, oven-roasted chicken pot pies, and so much more. Whether you're planning a dinner party, sending a gift, or just want to try something new and delicious, Many Kitchens offers something for everyone. Help support small batch producers while you discover the best in artisanal foods from across the nation at manykitchens.com. Many Kitchens, the one-stop shop for all things foodie.
That was an awesome song. You're listening to The Speakeasy. We're here on the phone with Claire Marin of Catskills Provisions. We were just talking about the honey production, and we're just getting into the whiskey side of things with the Brian and Tom, which are not brothers, but they're both named McKenzie of Finger Lakes Distilling. I think where we left off before the break, we were talking about the collaborative efforts of, you know, like you guys being both in New York State and keeping it in the state, and not necessarily just for us, but for everyone, but showing how I think, especially coming from a small town and living on a farm growing up, like we always, there was a lot of collaboration going on, and there was a lot of helping your neighbor and making things happen that way. And you're starting to see it a lot more nowadays. It used to be, rather than the synergy that we're seeing a lot nowadays, used to be more competitive. And I think what's really cool about this is, you know what? You got this whiskey. I've got this honey. They're both awesome. Let's put them together, and everyone's going to enjoy that. You know, and I think that's a really strong statement, you know, just to work together that way.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, it sure is. And it's really interesting how things work out, because, you know, the goal was the third year of the company to start distilling ourselves. And I had at the end of the second year, I had started talking to a distiller, an independent distiller upstate in our area, actually, that had really good experience, who I really liked. And we were like going to hire him and start this thing. And we were looking at stills. And honestly, one thing led to another, and then, you know, the food line just started kind of growing. And, you know, by chance, I met Brian and loved his products, their products, and I was like, wow, wait a minute. And from that meeting, we just started talking, and we saw eye to eye, which was so important to me, you know, because, you know, Finger Lakes Distilling was one of the first small batch distilleries in New York State. And, you know, the laws have changed so much thanks to, you know, some of the higher-ups, the officials that, you know, have decided to allow some of these, you know, some farmers to be able to make money a little bit differently with, you know, with apples and pears and all that, and trying to turn those into alcohol again like they used to. So it's helped farming an enormous amount. And obviously, you know, the growing of rye and things like that in New York State have given a farmer a new source of revenue and land that wasn't used and stuff. So, I mean, Brian and Tom were at the forefront of that. They were, I believe, if they weren't the first, they were absolutely one of the first to get on that. And so it was really a pleasure, you know, to meet them and you know, just forged it ahead with this thing.
Yeah. They have a farm distillation license, correct? I mean,
right, correct.
And that is basically the way that was ushered back into distillation in New York State. It was basically based on the farm distillation licenses that you could get, and which means that in the best way, you know, you're hiring people for working on the farm. You're growing the grain. You're growing at least it's right around your farm, and you're producing a product that's usable. And you know, it really, that just goes back to the early days. Like, the origin of distillation in general is preservation. You know, we've got these giant crops. You know, when the land was much more bountiful than it is nowadays, and you know, whatever we had left over, so it didn't spoil, we'd start distilling it. You know, and
exactly.
That way, we've got we're not wasting anything, waste not whatnot. And also, you know, when the town gets together and has a big party, we can
without a doubt. I've had the pleasure of doing that in the middle of nowhere in the woods with a bunch of guys when they do the higher cider press.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, you got it. Have you done that? It's like the coolest thing. It's like going back 200 years. You know, they used to do it like 100 years ago, and it's the same press that they're using.
That's awesome.
Oh my God, what a party that is.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, you want to have a nice hefty breakfast before you go there. Wow.
Nice. Well, let me ask you this. On the drink side of things, like, how do you like to drink this whiskey? Do you make cocktails with it? Do you drink it on its own? I mean, like, what do you like to do?
Well, for me, I got to tell you, if I'm feeling a little lazy, on the rocks, it's amazing. It's really wonderful. Neat, you will taste a little bit less of the honey. You know, the goal was not to make it very sweet. I really wanted to keep to the, you know, respect the whiskey that it is, and just add the honey and round it out a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. round out the edges. And so I think, you know, Tom did that very, very well. You know, so it lent itself well to a neat drink if you want to stick more to the whiskiness of it. And then adding the rocks really opens up the sweetness of it a little bit. Again, it does stay pretty dry, but you have an aroma of honey to it, so that's wonderful. It makes an amazing old-fashioned. I don't put any sugar in old-fashioneds anymore, just with the honey whiskey. So it's kind of nice, you know, for the gals out there that are watching their weight a little bit. It helps. It's always good. So I could drink more, you know, if I have less sugar. So it's part of the master plan. But the other way, too, like Bouvet, restaurant in New York serves an Irish whiskey with it, and it's really wonderful. It gives it just a slight sweetness that goes really well. Hot toddies also.
Of course.
A couple of people are making it with that, and who else is doing really well with it? Barbuto and, I'm forgetting. I'm going to kick myself. Il Buco. Il Buco has a more, they're making arancino with it, so there's, you know, a little like an Italian old fashioned. So there's cherry to it, and a cherry liqueur, and our honey whiskey in it. It's just, it tastes like amazing. So again, you don't need a sweetener with it because it just rounds it out enough for you to have a really beautiful, you know, it's a drinker's cocktail. You know, it's not like for someone who, you know, likes very sweet drinks or something like that. It's definitely a drinker's cocktail.
Sure.
And, you know, 80 proof. You know, is a good one. You know, all the other honey whiskeys and stuff.
Yeah,
besides
much,
all their other faults, they're 70 proof. You know?
Yeah, they're much sweeter and much lower proof. And
yeah,
I feel like it's you know, one of those kind of things that, you know, next time I go camping upstate, that's what I'm going to take with me.
In a flask, if I had to, you know, deserted island, like, what would you bring? My flask would definitely have New York honey whiskey in it, for sure.
Awesome.
That would be my drink of choice.
Now, I always like the idea of, like, grains and honey together. And that's exactly what this is. I mean, you know, like, at the very base level and the very old school, like, almost like breakfast oats, you know, like, together with the honey.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what it is. But it's, and I don't want to promote, you know, like, AM drinking or anything, but I, you know, it's like one of those things. I've always done on my brunch menus, I've always put the Brown Derby on my my cocktail list for brunch, because you've got some whiskey, you've got some honey, you got some grapefruit, and it is the Brown Derby is, it's a breakfast cocktail. They probably didn't start out that way. They probably didn't mean for it to be that way, but I mean, come on, let's get real. That's, you know, it's a breakfast cocktail.
Totally. Listen, people have been drinking all day long. I mean, watch any movie from like the 40s and 50s, and I mean, everyone had a cigarette and a drink, you know, like Mad Men. They would, you know, conducting business with, you know, whiskey all over that office.
Hey, you know what? That's how this country was founded. You know, there was a lot of drinks going on while this country was being, worked and tilled. You know, actually, our first tax was on alcohol. So, you know, we got, you know, God bless it.
Done responsibly, I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to create new things based on some of the oldest, you know, experiences that we've had. I mean, it's really a wonderful thing to have this sort of fresh way of mixing, you know, like you said, a grain that is, you know, is as old as us, you know, and the honey, which is something that's, you know, it's good and it's plentiful and it's delicious and it's natural. I even went down to the bottle being from Made in America. Like, I was totally insistent on getting a bottle that was, you know, very American. And when you look at it, it looks like an old whiskey bottle you would see at a Western bar somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Those Spaghetti Westerns, they had that bottle in their bar for sure. I know it.
Stop. You had me at Spaghetti Western. Stop it. Well, I can't wait to we're having our Heritage Radio party, the host party, coming up in a couple of weeks. And so we're going to be featuring your whiskey at that party, and I'll be making some cocktails with it. And I can't wait to actually share one with you if you're around.
Yeah, me too. I really appreciate you taking the time for us and talking about this. And I love your show and can't wait to meet you face to face for sure.
Awesome. Claire, it's been so nice talking to you.
And yeah, have a great rest of the day.
Yeah, you too. And a happy new year, okay?
Okay, you too. Okay.
All right. Bye. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check in next week. We're going to be talking. Actually, you know what? We're going to keep this whole month rolling with whiskey. We'll be speaking about whiskey all month long, and that's not a bad thing at all. And I also want to say, very quickly, thanks to everyone. I was out of the studio for the month of December, but my three-year anniversary with Heritage Radio was this December, and I just want to thank all the past guests and sponsors and everyone who's made this show and this radio station so great. I want to wish them Happy New Year and thank them very, very much. All right, check in next week. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.